just like to share a few thoughts tonight. I've entitled them In the Desert. We're fairly fortunate down on the moor. We got a bit of grass still growing, but I did go to Scotland recently, and up as far as Yorkshire, generally speaking, it was brown. Whether it was supposed to be grass or whether it was corn, it seemed to be brown. After that, it seemed to be green as berry. They'd had rain up there. But I wanted to think about the couple of passages that we looked at tonight. Elijah, he was in quite a spot. God had told him to tell Ahab there wasn't going to be any more rain until God said so. We've had very little since February, but they were talking about years. So the state would have been very different. And Elijah was told to go down to the brook Cherith, or the ravine Cherith, and God would provide. And there's a little lesson here for each one of us, isn't there? That when we're doing what God tells us to do, however difficult it is, however awkward it is, however hard it is, if God's asked to do it, he'll provide. And, you know, sometimes when we're doing things for God, things don't work out quite as you'd expect. Elijah wouldn't have expected the brook to dry up. There he was, out in the desert, being obedient to what God has said. And then the brook that God said for him to go by dried up. He went on, because God then said, right, go on to where this widow lady is, and she's going to provide for you. Sometimes we get to situations where there is a need that the Lord has, and we don't seem to have the resources. How many times in your lives, when you've given things for God, has he not repaid you bountifully? You know, have you ever had that experience where, you know, you do something for God, you might give something somewhere, but the Lord is no man's debtor. He provides for us. And so we find the nearly impossible situation. This widow woman, gathering up a few sticks, last bit of flour in the jar, a little bit of oil in the jug, and Elijah comes along and says, can you make me a cake, please? You know? And she says, well, look, this is all we've got. We were going to have a little fire, bake this, and then we were going to die because of starvation. There's starvation in different parts of the world today. And sometimes there's things we can do about it. But in this situation, God had to deal with it. And what did he do? The lady obeyed what Elijah said. As a result, there was always flour in the pot or in the jar. As a result, there was always oil in the jug. And they had sufficient. God doesn't say that we're always going to have plenty, but he does allow us sufficient as we seek to work for him. In the desert, that would seem a crazy idea. Yet, it happened. What happened after that? Well, it was getting fairly desperate, the situation. So King Ahab decided that he and Obadiah, one of his senior ministers, would go searching for some grass. A bit like some of the people around at the moment are looking for the last bit of grass that they can find. They wanted to keep the horses alive. So Obadiah went one way, Ahab went the other. Obadiah met up with Elijah. Elijah says, I need to see King Ahab. And Obadiah was scared stiff. What was the reason? Well, Obadiah was God-fearing. When Queen Jezebel, who was a very evil lady, when she started to kill the prophets, he managed to hide two lots of 50 prophets in caves, and he managed to get some food to them. But he knew that if he went back and told Ahab that Elijah was there, and God had whisked away Elijah from where he was, he would lose his life. And he said, look, I've done this for the Lord, and yet you're asking me to do this nearly impossible thing. And Elijah said, I'll still be here. You go and tell Ahab. We find that they went. This was in a drought situation. He went and he said, look, when they met up together, Ahab accused Elijah of causing all the problems. And Elijah was bold enough to say, no, it's because you've forsaken the Lord. And so I got an idea. You got 450 prophets of Baal. You bring them up to the mountain, up Mount Carmel, and we'll meet together. And we'll sort out there who's God. We'll do it by having a couple of bullocks slaughtered, put on altar, and call for God to bring down fire. That was agreed. The 450 prophets of Baal went there, killed their bullock, dressed it, got it all ready, then called down for God, their God, to put fire there and burn up the animal. Animals aren't very easy to burn, are they? But that's what they were trying to do. Didn't work. And Elijah did torment them a bit, saying perhaps he's asleep, perhaps he can't hear, perhaps he's away somewhere out the way, but it didn't work. And then he called the people together. He dressed the animal, put it there, and then called down fire from God. Because it was a matter of Ahab challenging God. And sometimes we challenge God, don't we, by not doing what he asks us. But at any rate, the fire came, the animal was consumed, and the people recognized that God was the true God. That was a high point, if you like, in his life. And Elijah then looked out for some rain, and a small cloud appeared after he'd sent his servant seven times to have a look. And he told Ahab to get going quickly and get back before it got too much rain. We've seen pictures recently of Bangladesh and how, or India and Pakistan, that area, how 300 people have died in mudslides and the rest of it. And it's no good trying to run in mud. You know, this summer has been quite a treat not to have to keep your wellies on and find that they're stuck with mud all the time. You know, the people, when they left Israel and went through the Red Sea, we read that God provided dry ground for them. It was so much easier for them to go that way. You know, if you walk through mud, you tend to grow in height, don't you, like the amount of mud that's on your Wellingtons or whatever. But God provided dry ground. here he was saying, look, we're going to have rain now after 3 years. And Elijah ran. And we find that Jezebel was furious with all that had gone on. And she said, basically, if Elijah's still alive tomorrow, look out, because he's going to be like one of the prophets that he's killed. And Elijah ran away, went out into the desert, decided to go into a part that hadn't had any rain. Sun beat down on him. And all he said was he wanted to die. You know, sometimes we can get from peaks of great thrill and spiritual benefit to lows where we're really struggling with our faith. God knows about that. As I prayed earlier, or said in my prayer, he giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He addeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace is no measure. His power is no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Elijah thought he was the only one about left standing for God. Do you sometimes feel like that? Everybody around you seems to be rejecting God. Elijah felt that, and he wanted to die. God reminded him that there were 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. And sometimes we need to be reminded, don't we, that there's millions and millions and millions of people who love the Lord Jesus throughout the world. And many are coming to know him daily. Just because in parts of the West, the church is struggling, the church worldwide is growing. And we need to be thankful for that. It's also interesting to read that recently, there appears to be a lot more young people interested in Christian things. Somewhere I read a report that 18 to 24-year-olds are really searching for something now. You know, they tried all that the world has to offer, and there's nothing there. The only thing that can really satisfy is the Lord Jesus. I trust you know the Lord Jesus, and that he truly satisfies. Turn over to the New Testament, another desert situation. Yeah, Philip was having a successful campaign. Lots of people were coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And what does God ask him to do? Go out into the desert. Nobody going to be about there. What a crazy thing. But sometimes God asks us to do crazy things because he knows the end from the beginning and he's in control. And we find that he went out on the desert road, and there it so happened that a man who was Chancellor of the Exchequer of Ethiopia was riding by in his chariot. And he was reading Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 53. He couldn't have had a much more important verse or two from the Old Testament than that. And so we find that Philip was prompted to go up to him. Now, there's a little lesson here for us in Philip, because what did he do? He ran to the chariot. Now, I wonder how many of you, if you'd had to go to meet somebody to talk to them about Jesus, would have run to do it. I know I wouldn't have. Maybe that's just because I can't run much now. But, you know, the fact is that Philip ran, met up, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he didn't talk about the weather. I suppose in the desert, there's no point in talking about the weather much, really, is there? But he didn't talk about the weather, because we would normally do that, wouldn't we? But he sort of said, do you understand what you're reading? The man said, how can I? Unless somebody explains it to me. He said, come on up in the chariot. So Philip went up in the chariot and started it where he was. Another important little principle that we need to, when we're talking to people about Jesus, we need to start from the point where the person is. It's no good delving straight into some wonderful theological debate or otherwise, which is totally irrelevant at that stage. Philip went, and from the point where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, he went from there and preached unto him Jesus. And the man responded. They kept going. And the man said, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? You might think, well, that was just a throwaway statement in the Bible. But remember where they were. They were in the desert. Chances of finding water? Minimal. So we find that God provides. They went down, man was baptized, Philip went on elsewhere, the Holy Spirit whisked him away, but the man went on his way rejoicing. Do you know people that you've been able to help to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and the thrill that you can have when they go on their way rejoicing? Two situations in the desert. One of blessing, and one where a steady Christian, a famous Christian, struggled a bit, and God had to provide. He felt he was the only one, Elijah. And God had to remind him, there's plenty more about. Sometimes when you might be feeling a bit alone and struggling, just remember that there's a lot more around, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. And when you find yourself in a position where, however important or otherwise the person is, that you need to share the news of the gospel. And what a thrill it is, isn't it? When the person goes on their way, rejoicing because they've met with the Lord. Both were in the desert. Both were very different situations. One had reached a peak and fell down and was in the depths of despair. And God had to lift him out of that by reminding him that there were others around. The other one was somebody who was popular and doing a great work. God called him away out into the desert because he was looking at one individual soul. The result of that was that many Christians were found in Ethiopia over the centuries. Where are you? In the desert. You know, we've got a desert now. Where are you? Are you rejoicing? Are you helping? Are you using the opportunities that God gives you? Or are you sitting back and thinking, no, I can't do any more. That's enough. I've had enough. That's the questions I would ask you tonight. I'm so thrilled to see so many people here, and I trust that you will be continually blessed as a result of witnessing together for the Lord Jesus in West Camel and the surrounding areas. Amen.